Really?
Yeah, what? You're not ready? You're
ready? Oh, sure. I didn't know that it was just happening like that.
Yeah, but ease him in. This is
so
only our 24th episode.
Sorry.
No, don't.
I totally got it. Nope.
We're going.
This is episode 24 of Radio NA Podcast for nerdappropriate.com.
Hooray.
We're a larger group than we usually are today.
We do. We have guests. It's always exciting.
Are they really guests anymore? I mean, when you're here like 3 or 4 times in a row, do they just become...
True. I told Ash that I'm hitting
that
Ryan.
Part of the podcast.
Yeah.
We're characters.
So we got Derek and Ryan.
What's up?
Are both here.
You have to say words, Derek.
Words.
Derek. All right. Unless anything crazy happened this week, I say we just jump in because we've got a lot of stuff.
I don't think anything important happened this week. So
there's the one news story that we can't avoid that we probably should cover.
And that's
the only show joke.
Speaking of, Andy Dick got arrested.
Oh, I was going to say the royal wedding.
Oh.
Oh, man. I watched that with my students and tried to explain.
You watched the royal wedding?
Yeah.
What time?
Dude, that
I
eats up hours
six.
Of class time.
Does class start at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, when
Everybody come in now?
They were replaying it. They were doing recaps and such.
Highlights.
But they were pretty into it. They didn't understand how monarchies really work, so it actually was a good little
thingamajig. Did they understand hats?
No.
They learned a lot about hats.
But
they
definitely were like, why is his hair falling out if he is king?
So what'd you guys think about the totally awesome fan service Star Wars reveal?
Oh, we're jumping right into that one, huh?
Oh, it's not on our list, so
It's in Matt Gets Pissed About Star Wars.
Oh, though.
Man.
Spoiler alert.
I'm bringing it up. I just did it.
Well, we can start there, because in all honesty, I haven't looked, so I don't even know what the big reveal
was.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, well, there was. It was just footage. It was just images.
The big reveal was poorly photoshopped and poorly animated images of what the special features are going to be on the Blu-ray, which is shit that we've fucking seen before.
Really?
Yeah, we got
that.
Was the big reveal?
That was the big reveal.
I got an email last week that was like, on May the 4th, everything will be revealed. And it's like, check out StarWars.com, like at 9 a.m.
And then you go at 9 a.m. and the site didn't work.
Yeah, or Matt
didn't work till 10 a.m.
Matt went at 9 a.m.
I went at 9 a.m. So you go at 9 a.m. and the site redirected you to Fox Movies. And then when it finally started working, which was like 9:30, I think.
I didn't actually get to it till 10.
Okay, it was like 9:30, 9:45. The site, when you went to share, when it was like, share this, because nobody knows who Star Wars is.
When you went to the site, then it redirected you to a big blank panel that said, share this to more.
Share this to learn
and
more.
And it had a list.
So the movie was loading, percentage-wise. It was telling you how much percentage of the movie is ready to be viewed. And when I went at 9:30, it was like 1%, of course. It was like nobody.
Yeah.
So you had to click share, and everybody that shared it would increment that percentage some small amount. And then the video would play more, right?
Yeah.
So the problem is, when you clicked share, what happened was another screen came up that was supposed to take you to your Facebook or your Twitter authentication and be like this on Facebook. But when you hit it, their website was fucking boned, and it would just go to a 404 error page. First of all, when you hit it, a password screen would come down, which was my favorite part of the whole thing. A password thing would come down. You had to hit cancel on that, and then you'd hit share, and then it 404'd out, which means there's no web page there.
I didn't click share because all of my friends know what Star Wars is.
The thing was such a fucking hack job. And I was just like...
so fucking
stupid. And that was my point the whole time, was like, who doesn't know what Star Wars is? Like, who am I sharing this with anymore?
Like it's not going to sell, like, hotcakes the second it comes out.
Like Scott said, all you have to do is put it on the shelf. Like,
you don't
have
to
market it at all.
If you were in Target one day and you look over and it's like, oh, Star Wars is on Blu-ray, I'll pick that up.
Yeah,
it has honestly transcended even a movie at this point.
Yeah.
It is, like, a borderline religion for a lot of people.
Sure.
And, I mean, you can argue that. But, I mean, in all honesty, there's some people that, like, love this franchise that it really does require no promotion whatsoever.
Call those people virgins.
The problem with this is this is some asshat marketing guy who was like, you need to get into the social networking more.
We need to take Star Wars viral.
We need to make it viral 30 years ago. And it's like this is such a ridiculous...
Yeah,
it was just such a ridiculous marketing concept that instead of doing what it should have done, which is reward 40-year-long fans on a project that everybody loves already. Instead, yeah. It said, "Hey, go know your friends with this link for Star Wars, and we'll show you some fucking imagery
Australia.
That has nothing that you like." Oh,
if you watch the stats, Australia kicked ass.
Oh,
they
so
immediately skyrocketed
bad,
to like 90%.
Oh man,
that's what it did too. It broke it up by country, and every country had to share it a certain.
I'll tell you what,
to watch this horrible montage.
I don't care. I don't care what it is. I'm not going to share or like something to have something revealed for any reason. I don't care what it is.
The only time I've done crap like that is occasionally like a band will release like a single for free online or something that's like post this to your
but
Twitter
that's
to
different
get access
because
you get something
you're getting something worthwhile and they're saying hey
not, you
like share this with your friends and generally that's not fucking like the Beatles don't do that. The Beatles don't go like, hey, we'll give you a song if you go share the Beatles. And
right,
the Beatles
right.
are like, yeah, everybody knows who the fuck we are already.
Yeah. Essentially the Star Wars thing was like, share this with your friends so you can see a commercial.
Yeah. Exactly, that's what it was.
That's ridiculous.
It was like
all I saw was your Twitter feed, and it got like progressively more angry.
he was mad,
and I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I knew that they were supposed to reveal something big.
Step one: don't
put
have broken shit on the fucking website.
Yeah.
Like, you are the biggest movie corporation I've ever heard of in my life, and your webpage is broken.
Yeah.
Like, really, you can't like hire me. I will come fix your stupid webpage.
Yeah. IT guy was off that day.
Like,
yeah,
that's step one. Step two, just don't do stupid marketing. You have no need to do this. Everybody knows who you are already. There's no sharing Star Wars.
Built-in audience.
You're like, it's just mind-blowing. I don't know who got them to do that, but to me it just felt like, hey, we're going to piss on our fans for a minute and see what happens.
Yeah, I can see that.
Wait, it was just good shit from all aspects.
Wasn't that already done with the episodes
1-3?
Oh.
Well, not on top of all of it was an annoying campaign, and it was shitty.
It was
shitty
crappy
information, and it was poorly presented.
Yeah, it was a bad.
I don't fucking care what the special.
It was a bad move
are.
All over. But I mean, this is from the ninth release of these three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we're hitting ridiculousness at this point. So I think
it's like Lord
Penny Arcade did a comic where they were like joking about how it was going to be like released in aerosol form in 50 years, and everybody would buy it again anyway because they couldn't help it.
The Facebook comments were hilarious on the updates they were doing from the official Facebook page, because people commenting on it were like, why would you need to buy Star Wars and Blu-ray? I still have my VHS copy, non-special edition. I'm like, fuck you, watch it in fucking high resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's going to be
awesome. It'll look awesome. Like, who cares?
Like, why are you complaining about it coming out in Blu-ray?
But yeah, it just, the whole thing was just ridiculous. It was just poorly done.
This week's news is a lot of speculation.
Wait, we're actually doing the podcast now?
You're actually going to do the podcast.
In the podcast.
Are we rolling?
We actually did.
We were just talking.
Are the call lines open?
Yes.
The call lines are
open.
I should set up the Skype. Well, that would bomb my internet.
The first person to send me a text message with a nipple will get...
Not you guys.
But I have the picture ready.
Okay,
I don't
Uncharted
even
3 beta code. Go. All
right.
Nipples. Waiting.
Here.
Waiting.
Just, I'll give you an analog.
No analog. Okay, so the first bit of news we had just got released the other day.
Oh, nobody wants to see your nipples, right?
My nipples coming.
Damn. Is that a frisbee?
it's only this big.
Is that a dinner plate?
A brown one. All right, moving on. First bit of news.
Don't ruin the computer.
We just heard this the other day.
Yeah, don't ruin that computer.
Mass Effect 3 not coming out this year.
Yay!
Coming out in 2012, quarter one, supposedly. We put a little thing up on the site from their press release. Scott commented on it, and he sounded a little angry.
Yeah.
A little bit angry, because it was also revealed that some of the reasons why they're pushing it is they want to refine the combat and make it a little bit more action-y.
They want to have a broader market appeal.
Yes, that was their quote. They wanted to have
Is that really what they said?
Broader market appeal. Well, they kind of said what they were doing is they wanted to make it more competitive with other shooters. Because obviously that's where the big money is right now. If you can get a shooter with longevity, you're going to be able to attract a really, really wide audience, because those games sell more than any other games right now. Everyone here, except for Ryan, has played Mass Effect, which is okay.
Not
okay. It's good that someone hasn't
played it. I'm catching up.
It's good that someone hasn't.
It's good that
in
someone
the world.
Hasn't played it. Just for perspective.
Somebody's
good. Are you guys happy that it's being pushed, or are you pissed off it's being pushed, or do you care at all that it's being pushed?
I don't really care when the game comes out.
I'm happy that it's being pushed to quarter one versus quarter four, since it's already pretty full quarter.
Yeah.
I'm happy because then I can still have a little more time to play one.
A little time to beat it. Yeah, yeah.
A couple more months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm kind of.
I don't like what you just said about the broader appeal thing, but.
Well, here's the deal. I know they're making each class a little bit more defined. Before, it would be hard to kind of, you know, I mean, you could definitely tell the difference between, like, say, an engineer and, you know.
Worthless.
Yeah, or what's the other one that had the armor? The Sentinel?
Yeah.
The Engineer and the Sentinel, but they were really similar. Like, they had, like, one little different ability.
I don't think they really need to have six classes from the beginning.
True, but they do, and they're not going to get rid of any of the classes. What they're doing is they're making each class a little bit more defined. Each class is going to have a variety of melee moves, and they all have access to the same weapon sets, but they're also going to have a wide, wide branching set of abilities. So they're saying that Shepard's going to start off pretty much at the same power level, not the same level, but the same level of power as at the end of Mass Effect 2. So you start off as a badass, and then your badassery just continues to progress over 3. So they're not going to, like, bump you back down like they did at the beginning of 2.
Right.
Well, so they would have to kill you off and clone you again.
Yes, I don't think they're doing that.
I joked that they're just going to put a bayonet at the end of your assault rifle and force you to use it to, like, impale people.
I think
people.
That was referencing another game.
Yeah, well, I mean, because that's what they're doing.
Maybe they're finding a way to work zombies into
I did see a picture of... Because aren't the guns supposed to be fully customizable as well?
Yeah, you can have scopes and stuff this time.
I think it's in that.
But you can do that in one too.
Game Informer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, I think you'll be able to see the scopes and shit now. But
yeah.
Before it was just sort of like.
But you
yeah,
could
yeah,
have
yeah.
a bayonet, and according to the pictures in Game Informer.
But I mean, here's the real root of the question: do we really not have enough other games to play before?
Yeah,
that
that's.
I mean, like it's not like. It's not like you're, like, waiting this entire year so that Mass Effect comes out because you have no other games that are coming out to play.
Well, once I get 100,000 points, I'm quitting gaming altogether, so...
That's
awesome.
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's not true.
Believe it when I see it.
No.
Is fucking Half-Life 3 coming out?
No.
I've been instructed to check my phone.
Oh, you got nipples?
I might.
Scott will cut this out.
Not yet. Not yet. I haven't received anything yet. I'm waiting.
Caller? Is that a caller?
But you know, I mean, between all the games we talked about last episode, which is like just a ridiculous
yeah.
amount
of
top level games that are coming out this year, is it really a big deal that you're not going to get Mass Effect 3?
It's kind of depressing because it's kind of like when a band you like gets picked up by a major label and then they just put out an album that's like heartless. Like, I'm afraid that that's what's going to happen to this game.
I don't think so. I don't think enough of it's been revealed to really even get a vibe for its. For what it's going to be like. And I understand you're afraid
but
that
I mean,
it's going to become a shooter. But I still think at its soul it's going to be Mass Effect. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like... They could
I didn't read your comment. Is that what you're afraid of? That it's just going to be straight vanilla shooter? Like,
well, yeah. I mean, well...
Oh, sweet. And
like, the quote says... The quote says... BioWare is adjusting some of the gameplay mechanics and some of the features you'll see at E3 that can put this into a genre equivalent of shooter meets RPG and essentially address a far larger market opportunity... than Mass Effect 1 did and Mass Effect 2 began to approach.
Yeah.
So, to me, what I said was that, to me, that means multiplayer with microtransactions, endless DLC.
They already
DLC.
Said multiplayer, didn't they? I thought multiplayer
you know,
got released previously that they
I
said
that.
They
said
well,
the
no. Game Informer said no multiplayer.
Yeah.
Thank
it's
God.
Next. Everyone thought that we, including us...
I would buy
thought,
a separate Mass Effect
yeah.
multiplayer game... But
there's definitely
like,
going to be no
but,
I don't know what setting they could put it in, though, Scott. They have no other setting they could possibly put a game in.
Yeah. I think there's a period of time it's referred to as the First Contact War.
God yeah. damn, I just want to play that. I just want that. I want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen.
Maybe one day.
That.
Uh-oh.
I think it'd be fun as hell.
Those are nipples. You have nipples on your screen lock.
I do.
Like, you don't even have to open the screen. You already have nipples
shown
on your phone.
I do have a naked picture of Duke Nukem as my wallpaper.
Hmm.
But I still have not received...
Not the ladies giving him head, by the way. Just Duke Nukem.
Just
Duke Nukem.
From
sense.
The belly button up.
Yeah, I haven't received anything yet. Blame Apple.
We always do.
Yeah. All right, so
well,
yeah, well, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of news.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
that it got pushed, and I just want, kind of wanted to see how you gentlemen felt. I can wait.
I'm
all right
with it.
I'm patient too.
If it means better game, I'm fine.
Yeah,
if it's being pushed for like what I think Gears was like a total marketing reason that it got pushed, I feel like that's kind of like that's sucky for Gears fans. This to me feels like maybe we're gonna wait a little bit and put it out a few months later. You know. So I don't know.
Nothing Goldstorm had anything to do with Gears.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh. Gears was completely market-based. It was like, if we put out Gears right after Bulletstorm, no one's going to buy Bulletstorm. It's just going to get trucked. Like,
it's an upstart. I mean, people can fly as an upstart studio and give them a chance.
Right. I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that, like...
Settle down, man.
Everything I say about Gears is not negative, Derek.
We weren't even talking about that. We're talking about Bulletstorm.
No, I'm just saying that I feel like Gears was pushed because it was like, we have other things we want to do right now. We'll just make Gears wait and we'll have it be a crusher in the fall. Whereas this felt more like, we could put it out, but we also feel like we could hold it a few months and it could be that much better. Is what they're saying, at least. So hopefully, you know.
I don't know. I think it could go either way, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You think marketing reasons?
Yeah, because quarter four is pretty full already.
Yeah, but it's Mass Effect. I don't think Mass Effect has to worry about being full.
When's the next Call of Duty supposed to come out? Because I can honestly tell you that Dragon Age, and granted, Dragon Age is not Mass Effect, and I like Mass Effect more, but Dragon Age suffered a lot because of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
I would agree, but I would also still say it's not Mass Effect.
I'm saying that on a personal level.
Yeah, but I'm saying that like Mass Effect, I don't think is going to get affected. I think, first of all, it's a different gaming core, so...
So you're saying that Call of Duty won't have a Mass Effect on it?
Oh.
Hold on.
Cue your own music.
Hold on.
I'm waiting. Oh.
You're gonna tighten that up in post.
We're just gonna run the soundboard, right?
Tighten that up.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
I'm on sound effect.
Killed that one.
On sound effect.
Number two. Thor, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Shocked. Totally.
Who's going
shocked.
At midnight?
I'm not going at midnight, but I'm going this weekend.
I'm going this weekend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just because I'm so surprised, dude.
I'm going
so surprised.
Because I grew up and the only comic book movies you had were Superman and Batman. And now I can watch every comic book character I've ever read on the movie screen. I'm going to go see Thor.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Green Lantern.
It looks like a 2.5 minute It Gets Better.
It looks horrible. No, it's going to be bad, but I think it's going to be bad, but it might be great. Who knows?
I'm hoping it doesn't happen. Like, I'm really holding out for Captain America.
Actually, the new Green Lantern trailer.
I know it does.
It looks
finally
really good.
Looks really good.
But the problem with it, though, and I mentioned this to Ryan right away, was that there's a lot less Ryan Reynolds and a lot less, what's her name from Mad Men? Like,
she's
January Jones, right?
No, Blake Lively.
Blake Lively. That's
who I don't know
Mad Men.
Who that is, but yeah.
She's from like something else. But anyways, there's a lot less. Less of the two of them in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but the movie's about the two of you, so this could not very.
Well, in that footage,
referring
that...
to the like the, showing all of like the grand. I don't know
anything
about the
they
grand.
They just released
universe,
the new.
Where
did you see the brand new trailer?
Where they're on their planet?
Well, the brand new trailer shows a lot more of like Sinestro and the Green Lantern, like the core where
they
train.
They released like the 5 minutes, which looked goofy seeing Ryan Reynolds out there. Like the effects were fucking amazing and like it was cool. And then there's Ryan Reynolds standing around talking to all these CG things,
mm-hmm.
which looked a little silly. But the new trailer shows like that was like a 5 minute scene or something
that
they released. And then the new trailer, like you said, a lot less Blake Lively, completely
gone. Just gone.
But it looks less corny. I'm still nervous about it. I'm hoping that it doesn't flip, because I was holding out. I was really thinking Captain America was going to be great, so we'll still see that. And I thought Thor was going to suck, and I hope it's not the inverse, because I could give a fuck less about Thor. So I hope Thor isn't awesome, and then Captain America blows.
Yeah. I hope Captain America does well, or is good.
Yeah,
I think it'll do well.
When they did the ultimate Captain America, that I just think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is from the
director.
But anyways,
Thor, I am a little surprised that Thor is getting the ratings.
Honestly, it would take like hundreds of hours to document the amount of time that in 24 podcasts, we've dissed on Thor a lot. From the very beginning, we're like, this movie's going to blow. I remember you shouting, this movie's going to suck. At least
three
or four.
Did I shout it?
I think you may have shouted.
You shout just about everything.
But we really had zero faith in this movie.
Voice.
And so then all of a sudden...
Seeing it
all of a sudden, it, like, 96 reviews, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty
the only thing I would say is Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
Doesn't really turn out crappy things.
That's true.
What has he directed?
Pretty much every Shakespearean movie
out. You know, super classically trained Shakespearean actor. And I can
so perfect for Thor.
Yeah, what?
Well, I mean...
Well, it's not that far off, I mean...
You're right.
Yeah, it's
Shakespeare wrote a lot about guys hitting things with hammers from space,
but,
heaven.
But there's a lot more of, like, the gods and all that kind of bullshit, so...
Remember that one scene in Othello? Oh, God, I wish I was smarter because I'd make a reference to any Shakespeare. Remember when Mercutio hit the other guy with a hammer?
There you go. Yeah, all right.
So who's gonna go see Thor?
I'm gonna go see this.
I'm probably gonna see
No.
Scott's
out.
He's like no draw movie. For that, right? I mean,
Natalie I'll wait Portman. To see what you guys say.
I don't think Natalie Portman. I don't think she's gonna be. I don't know. I think she's like she's the love interest. I just don't see her all over.
There's going to be no.
See your highness.
I mean, you asked me what the draw was. I mean, that was it. You know.
I was sorry. I was thinking of your highness, so I.
Oh, you blanked out for a second.
I was. All right. So the other thing, this brief news. At the end of this month, I wasn't really aware, but I went to a convention earlier in the year in October called. It was Spooky Empire's Horror Convention. It was really small. It was down at the Wyndham here in Orlando. And so they're having it did so well, and it was actually they had a great turnout. Like. Danny Trejo was there, and Robert Englund, and like...
were they fighting zombies in Call of Duty?
They were, but no. But it was a great turnout, and it got a lot of buzz. So they're like, you know what? We don't want to wait a whole other year. We want to go ahead and have like a follow-up to this convention ASAP. So they created a convention really, really quickly called Mayhem, and it happens at the end of the month, and it actually has a pretty awesome list of people that are going to be there.
What dates is it?
It's at the end, 27th through the 29th, I want to say. But
this month.
This month, yeah. Top of that list for me is Alex Winter.
What?
Alex Winter is
the director of Freaks?
Yes, the director of Freaks, also known as...
Did some research?
I've seen the movie.
But we had a weirdo in our chat room. Anyway... What are you
guys
doing?
It's Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, it was Shaq.
Oh, Shaq.
Sorry.
So, yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I'm going to go. I actually tried, I signed up for press passes for us. I don't know what's going to happen, but if you guys want to go, they may be en route. They may be coming. And you can go for free.
I think at this point, I'm going to splice in excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent.
San Dimas High School football
rules. Yeah.
San Dimas High School football rules!
Yeah, for real. Let me just pull up the link really quick, and then I can kind of explain.
Really quick?
Yes, really quick. So
Anthony Michael Hall. I want him to touch me and tell me what's going to happen.
Anthony Michael Hall.
No, don't take 408
Bruce
home.
Campbell. Some of the cast of The Walking Dead.
When does Bruce Campbell not show up to a
convention? Oh, of course. Ted Raimi. Norman Reedus from... Walking
Robin
Dead.
He's in Robin Hood too, isn't he?
Is he?
No, never mind. I'm thinking something else.
He's in
Greg Nicotero, who's a special effects supermaster.
I want to meet the zombie from Return of the Living Dead that says, "Bring more cops."
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
Yeah.
How many of those people are from Walking Dead? Because there's 1, 2, 3.
I think the whole line.
The whole line.
They're like invited half the cast to Walking Dead.
Half the cast, including some of the zombies, which have about 10 seconds of screen time each.
Wow.
There's a guy that I work with that has walking pneumonia, and I keep calling him a zombie because it immediately reminds me of Walking Dead.
I like that they put Norman Reedus twice for both Boondock Saints and Walking Dead.
Like, why not? The reason I really, really put this in here. Was sort of to talk about local conventions for just a minute. They're sort of dying, not only here, but it's because of the big conventions are getting so big that all there used to be were these small hotel conventions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Comic-Cons and the Mega-Cons, they sort of, like, smothered all these little small conventions and made it impossible for them to have any guests. So when I see, like, a convention like this that is small... And granted, like, you know, you could easily argue that these guys aren't, you know, at the top of their game anymore.
You mean Anthony Michael Hall?
I'm just saying, depending on your opinion.
AMH, motherfucker.
But, I don't know, like, would you guys have any desire for there to be... Oh, check my email.
That's a fucking mission to get you a picture of a nipple. Just Google image search nipple.
I'm still not getting anything. I'm really not. I'm not making this up. But anyway, local conventions, what do you guys think? Yay, nay? Do you think they've kind of seen their last day?
Sure.
Yes.
No, I mean,
you weren't even listening, were you?
Yes.
Well, he threw
I agree.
Do you think they had a day, or...
Or do you think...
Give us your expert analysis. Yes.
Should be supported.
Do you think they've seen their last day?
I agree. I only know airplanes.
I think, you know, there's always a place for them, right? I think the problem is, like, we talked about the one that I was going to go to and then didn't because of the cost.
G.I. Joe?
Yeah, like... Yeah. What the fuck? The thing was $300 to get into.
There was
into. A
GI Joe convention?
Yeah, and it was $300 to get into. And I was like, that is
does
not
the guy
happening.
That set that price have to wear special pants that accommodate his huge balls?
He probably does.
$300 for it.
Well, I mean, like, the deal was, like, you got exclusive toys or something, but there was no like, entry
cheaper
price.
Version.
Just,
yeah.
like, go hang out yeah. price. And I was like, why can't I just go and hang out?
Yeah.
And it specifically said, like, no press passes and all this stuff. And I was like, well, you're like, forbidding people to come to this thing now. So,
So you want to have a convention for yourself?
Yeah.
I'm going to have my own, I'm going to have GI Matt.
Yeah.
But I think stuff like Spooky Empire and all this is awesome. I hope more stuff like this happens. Although, I think horror conventions are where the small ones are going to keep sticking around.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend... of a friend who's putting one on in San Diego.
Oh, cool.
And he's doing it pretty soon, I think. It's before Comic-Con, but same kind of deal. It's like a couple days in a hotel, you know, small conference, but he gets some really awesome...
Yeah,
he does
yeah.
a lot of, like, indie horror films and stuff there.
Oh, cool. Because, yeah, like, the good thing about small conventions is, like, the lines are never... You
right.
never get a Comic-Con Hall H fucking line.
Right.
I mean, that's just not possible. So it's like, if you really are into something, let's say, like, G.I. Joe or horror movies... You can conceivably meet somebody you've always wanted to meet or see content you've always wanted to see without having to worry about, you know, not getting a chance to do it because
it's like that scene in The Wrestler, right?
Oh, I haven't seen
that.
I've never seen The Wrestler. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's get it. Like,
horrible
movie. Right?
I don't dislike Aronofsky, but I don't love Aronofsky
yeah.
either.
I liked it.
Was Channing Tatum at the G.I. Joe convention?
They probably kicked him out.
No, but
no, he wasn't.
Or the
do you guys know who Diora? Do you guys know who Diora Barrett is? You know who Diora Barrett? And you know who Diora Barrett is? You sick bastard!
I've looked up pictures of her on the internet. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I just know that I've.
She's awesome. She's like one of the new generation of like scream queens.
I've Googled and searched her.
But she's been a ton of horror movies, and she's going
to
be there.
I've never been to a small convention like this.
I now know a lot more about Diora Baird than I expected to know when I Google searched her.
Did
oh,
you?
Yeah? I haven't seen the pictures. I've never been to a non-tech convention. Like, the only conventions I've ever been to are tech conventions. I have no desire to go to a convention like this, but I'm sure I would be, like, if put two beers in me, walk me around that floor to people watch it, something like this.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
sure I'd
yeah.
be quickly turned to being a fan of, like, small conventions.
It is awesome. Like, the one I went to, and I'll let you talk in just a second, I promise.
Nope.
The one I went to in October...
Write your name on the board. Yeah.
It's going to be totally out of
sync.
Yeah,
I was going to say, like, it was ridiculous, because like you're saying, you just walk around and see crazy crap. But I was walking around the corner, and Danny Trejo was standing... surrounded by about 30 Mexicans, and he was just in like the heart of this group of Mexicans, and they're all lining up to like take pictures with him, and he was just like, and I was like, what's happening? And like he was like the hero. Like
I was thinking maybe that was his entourage, so from a distance he didn't look 3 feet tall.
He was really small.
Oh, he's equal height with those people.
Yeah,
and then you're getting closer and they're not getting any bigger.
It was his bodyguard.
Derek, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was going
to
make a joke, but the time's passed, so it's not going to make any sense.
Just do like I do and just railroad that thing right in there.
So speaking of small conferences...
Sorry, I was drinking. Yeah, E3 is about a month away. There's some really big announcements coming up from E3, the biggest probably of which I'm going to hand over to Scott. Which is going to be the first hands-on look at the new Nintendo system. And we looked at a couple little articles you wrote about stuff about it, and not too much has been revealed, but this is going to be the first time people actually get to touch this new machine. So
I think, maybe like I mentioned in one of the posts, I sort of anticipate there being something that we still have not seen or thought of in terms of what would be the next controller innovation from Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of banking on seeing that vitality sensor again for some reason. Just because I think that's really interesting.
I think it's going to be a hat.
A hat that you wear?
You wear, yes. You put it on your head, and then it examines your thoughts.
How about? I mean, yes, but why not just like a...
I'm just going to send you a little Asian guy to play with in your house.
What do you mean, in the box, or is it mail order?
He's going to have strings tied to his wrists and feet, and he's going to move around, and he's going to be like, yeah!
That's what Rob was, though. We've already seen that, you know? That's nothing new, you know?
So there has been a little bit of hardware stuff revealed. It is obviously going to be in HD, duh. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put it...
coax cable.
But no hard drive.
That's what I was just going to say. It's going to have an 8 GB flash drive.
With expandable SD slot. So it's a phone. I got more memory in this thing.
I got so agitated when I read that, I stomped around. And I was like, why not?
So what do you, what do you want to use a hard drive for?
If you can stream things. And
I install my games in my 360.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but do you really want to buy your Mario game?
Download TV.
Do you want to buy your Mario game in 5 parts? You know, do you want the last 2 levels to be?
The thing that
parts.
Downloading stuff, man.
$15 DLC,
But we were just talking about literally the last episode. We were talking about how hard discs are gonna go. I mean, it's a fact of life that stuff is going to disappear. And you're gonna download everything you want to buy.
Yeah, the PSP Go that was super popular.
Yeah, here's my thing. I know you're just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
You're totally just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like that drives. Stupid PC. Steam is so yesterday. That was such a failure. No one uses that.
Yeah. Remember boot discs?
Wait. You weren't joking about the PSP Go? Because I thought that did kind of fall flat.
No, I mean, it failed miserably. But...
So yeah, the big thing about the E3 news was the new Nintendo system. There's going to be a lot of reveals, all of which we've already revealed. You're going to be able to see the new Assassin's Creed for the first time. You're going to be able to see Mass Effect 3 being played for the first time. You're going to be able to see Gears of War 3 Beast Mode being played in its full form for the first time.
What's that?
What's Beast
Mode? That's when Drew plays Gears of War 3.
Yeah, Drew plays Gears of War 3.
So true.
Best game.
Is that altered Beast style where all the characters turn into
big E3 stuff. Obviously, we are not going to E3 for a variety of reasons.
We can't get in.
That sums it up. It would have been $500 a day.
Wow.
We can't get in, which would be the first reason we're not going
variety.
To E3.
Yes, that's true.
All right.
So obviously when a little bit more information is revealed, virtually every game that's coming out in Q4 is going to be represented. And we talked about most of those.
Let me bring it back.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. So, other than that, we don't really have much E3 news. Big thing is obviously Nintendo. That's the biggest. And
I can't believe it's only a month away. That's kind of. I feel like it's
I didn't realize that it was my birthday.
I feel like it was yesterday that we were chatting instead of working all day.
When
we were
live tweeting E3,
and we were both talking to each other.
Which, by the way, everyone can probably look forward to me doing that again. If I'm not going to be there, I'll sit at my work live streaming E3 and then tweeting everything that's coming out.
I'll be off. So I'm definitely going to be watching. Literally.
I do remember something that Nintendo sort of hinted at. I think maybe it was the last thing they did was could have been Tokyo Game Show, I think.
Yeah.
And that was they showed a Nintendo logo on the screen at one point, and the Nintendo logo had a shadow behind it, and the shadow of the last letter had a tail.
Dolphin.
For raccoon, you know?
Dolphin.
What?
Dolphin.
What about it?
That was an old Nintendo system.
Yeah, it's...
I thought that was an old Nintendo.
Ico was Sega.
No, Dolphin was a code name.
For
GameCube
or
something.
I don't know.
So really, they made a Mario reference.
That's what I thought maybe there would be a Mario 3 or a return of the...
Of course there's going to be
the
a
raccoon.
Mario.
Can't wait for them to make more Mario.
The new Super Mario Brothers.
I don't mind
show.
The Mario games. I mean, honestly, it's the one series that I feel they can put out a billion games for and they never lose. They're always good. They're they're not it's not like Nintendo shits out crappy Mario games. They're here's another phenomenal game that will get, 5 stars in everybody's ratings and will be amazing because it is.
Halo 2.
No, example. Or any Halo, then Reach and
you shut your mouth.
Ooh.
Oh.
Here's the problem. Here's the reason I'm not having Halo right now is fucking Halo 3 that we played, which was just a turd.
What?
I thought Halo 3 was... Oh, no. It was fine. Reach. I thought 3 was okay.
Reach.
I don't actually remember.
Except for the... okay. Except for the last part of the game.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Might as well just play System Shock 2.
I think we did put a pretty good summary of Halo games the last time we met. With, here's... you guys, here's the aliens, and then here's the flood.
And then, weirdly, and then there's a religious dude. You don't know where he came from. He just shows up in the third one.
I've mentioned it before. I have no idea what's going on in any of those games.
So anyways, we were going to segue into Star Wars, which was going to talk about doing shares and reveals, which would lead right into the next piece of news, which is another stupid series that shouldn't have done a share this so that you can get a reveal.
It's an awesome series.
And that's the new Assassin's Creed and their big reveal, which isn't really much of a reveal.
Yes, it's called Revelations, and they're going to reveal something to us. So Revelations is the now being dubbed the third chapter of the Ezio trilogy.
Ezio.
Ezio!
Ezio!
Ezio! I didn't know that there was... I didn't really know that there was an Ezio trilogy.
I didn't either.
There wasn't until Brotherhood sold 90 million copies. And then they're like, oh, trilogy is what we were planning all along.
So it's a trilogy inside of a trilogy.
Right.
Inception.
Yes, this is getting to be very Inception.
So, never seen it.
Oh.
Can I just take my Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood discs and just put them in my Xbox at the
same time? Yeah.
Would that play the third game the
same? I mean,
same?
Here's the only thing is that, like, one... 2 and Brotherhood felt like the same game, just ripped in half. But this one's a new setting, they're saying. So, it seems like a money grab still, but it'll be good probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, the game's
fun. I doubt it's
going to
be bad.
Yeah.
Developed by the same exact
team. Right? Still Montreal.
So, it's still Montreal, and it's, this is just, looking at information that GamePro put out just the other day, and it says, follows Ezio, following the footsteps of Altair, and this time he is in Constantinople in the Ottoman Empire. And he's fighting, of course, against the Templars.
Is that Istanbul?
No.
Yeah!
I would like for it to be during World War I.
They'd be giants.
That would be awesome.
You know what? Did you play the Facebook game?
Nope.
I was actually just looking at it.
Scott's favorite games.
The Facebook game.
There was an Assassin's Creed.
There's
an Assassin's Creed. There was an Assassin's Creed Facebook game.
So you played this and I did not.
Yeah. And like there was no, like it's not an action game at all. It's just more like resource management and like you need over time you get to play more and then you wait 2 hours and play some more.
It's less like a game, more like a book.
You're right. Yeah.
It is. That is.
Yeah, because all the chapters.
Same thing with Dragon.
Yeah, all the chapters kind of like provided backstory on the events of like the first two or three games or whatever. But then they started releasing like special bonus chapters, like holiday chapters and stuff like that. And then one of those chapters took
You're
place.
You're only talking to me now.
No, I'm listening.
You just did stuff your students do. I'm listening, you Nazis.
I'm listening.
I'm listening, and you said the last word. I'm listening.
Exactly what
chapters.
I know, it's just funny because that's what everybody who doesn't listen goes. It's like.
I'm listening, chapters.
So in Star Wars, I'm listening, Star Wars.
Talking about war.
One of the chapters takes place during, like, I think World War II.
Huh.
So
that's awesome.
So the theory is that
I would love to
the comics, the little like one-off comic they did for Brotherhood or whatever that like Target put out. Like you guys got it for me and I read, and it was pretty decent. But it did the same thing; it time jumped, and there was a setting. This is why I thought it might be Russia. There was a setting in Russia, and it was awesome.
Russia,
it was like
right?
super good.
That's right.
And I was like, that would be badass, you know. And then
you know what time period it was?
Yeah, it was.
I might not. Wasn't it like World War II Russia? Or was it Russian Revolution? Like,
I think it was pre-World War II.
Okay.
They were going to do one in South Central LA in the early 90s and call it Brothers in the
Earth. Actually, it might have been because I think it was communist.
Wow.
It might have been because I think it was communist.
Okay.
And,
So it might have been between.
But it's like a dude on a horse, though, who chases down a train and then kills the dude in the train. If I knew more than the word dude for who the people were, we could probably narrow this down a little better, but,
Gregory probably works for a movie.
Yeah, he was like, Gregoria Listenovic.
Stole Shania.
Drink vodka.
So, I mean, does this... But I think the bigger question with these two, like the Star Wars and the Assassin's Creed thing, like, does this really get you excited about this game?
No.
You know what got me excited about it? Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. That was a great viral marketing campaign good, for Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
I think, like, when I like a series like Assassin's Creed, I don't care to see any of the marketing. Just tell me when the game comes out.
Yeah.
I'll go to the store and buy it. Yep. You know, like, yeah. I don't need to see anything other than, like, when the release day is.
Like,
know?
I mean, yeah. Is this game mad that they didn't sell what COD Blop sold? Like, is that what it is? You know, like, we need to hit those numbers.
It's
and it's
completely
like,
different game.
Whoa.
I got logged out
of Ustream.
I got logged out earlier.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, is that why they're doing these marketing campaigns? Like, what is the point of these things?
Well, there's two different routes you can take.
550 million Facebook people are not going to buy Assassin's Creed now because that's shared.
I mean, you can believe that it is all just about money, or you can believe that the developers really do have more of a story to tell. And if that is the case, then you got to back it up because, I mean, why not? It's a great series.
I think Ezio is a good character, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have loved to have seen more games with Altair. I enjoyed him.
He's in the new one.
Just Altair games. Like, I would have liked to have seen more with what happened at the end of one. Mm-hmm. Like, a continuation.
You would have liked to see some more to explain what the F happened at the end of one.
Yes. I would have liked to see more of Altair.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to
ACO a little differently.
From what this game appears to me, and just from like the little chunk of marketing, it's going to be Ezio's journey to discover Altair's past, and you're going to be jumping between the two characters. So you're going to be Altair, and then Ezio, and then back and forth.
I know Scott's going to hate that I said this, but I did enjoy the Desmond sections more than in the first game.
Sure.
First game, they just felt kind of clunky to me.
Oh, yeah.
I think if I could run, that would have probably solved all of my problems in the first one. That's what I'm saying. Like, in the first one, when you're forced to walk at half a mile an hour across a gigantic room to go read a rune on a wall, and then it's like,
to go to bed.
Flash out. And I'm like, why does that take like 10 minutes for me to do this?
Because in the future, you can only walk at that
speed. Yeah. but I mean,
gravity stronger.
Do you guys really feel like there's going to be, and maybe there is, I mean, they can totally prove me wrong on this and I'd be happy about it, but do you really feel like there's going to be that much of a difference if you're flashing between Ezio and Altair in the same exact setting?
I really want to know what's going on with Desmond. Like,
don't get me wrong. I mean, I totally love the Desmond side of it. I want to know what's going on in current day.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take the half...
Well, you're going to have one less finger.
If you take the Italian-American speech off of Ezio... He is Altair at that point.
Plus a finger,
yes, because you don't have to cut it off.
Big detail.
You know what I mean? I mean, did you feel like there's that much difference between the two characters? I honestly don't. I don't think there was. I love the series.
I never finished one.
Yeah, more of a ladies man.
I thought you did finish it.
Yeah.
You finished two.
I finished two.
He's more of. ACO kind of reminds me more of like almost a Han Solo-ish kind of assassin.
Well, I mean, they gave him story. Altair didn't have a story. I mean, he did, but it was really thin at best, and that was the big complaint about one.
Yeah,
and I think that's why two blew so many people away, because they came back and they're like, oh, we actually developed a character this time instead of just like, you don't like that guy, so flash forward, kill him, and you're like, what? like it just happens.
Isn't that how assassins are supposed to be? Like, here's your orders, go.
But there was no character building, and then like, I just feel like Altair was just such a blank slate of a character. Ezio was not. But really, if you take that Ezio, like, if you take the Italian off of him, to me, they feel like, if you're flashing between these two characters, it feels like you're playing the same character at that point to me. I don't know what's going to change.
Yeah, you're the player. It's not like...
Yeah.
Maybe this game is a sort of a way to rectify the missing chapters in Altair's story.
Look in the promo image.
Yeah.
Altair doesn't have a beard. Ezio has a beard. How much more different do you need?
Ezio
also wears the dark cloak.
What's weird is that like the picture kind of looks like it's Ezio, but then they do like the kind of like the flashy effect on Altair as if like Ezio is going to go into an animus or something.
Oh, but man. I feel like you're still going to be Desmond, and you're just going to go to Ezio, and then for whatever reason, something's going to trigger you back into Altair. You've been both of them. I mean, he's probably just starting to flip for no reason between the two.
Desmond,
he's
going to
become more
Desmond,
like
Desmond,
yes.
Desmond's going to be in every game. I mean, they can't.
Right.
They literally can't do these games without Desmond now because they've embroiled him into the story.
And,
like
that's
how
the
it
thing
works.
For me. Like Assassin's Creed is a game about Desmond, and that's why.
Is this what is his?
I think
flipping...
your Assassin's Creed is a game about Desmond.
Yeah.
I think
because
Assassin's Creed in general.
That's how I feel about Ezio.
Yeah,
like,
really?
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
Why?
Really?
So
that's where all the story is.
I play the game to wait to get out of the Animus, to see what happens.
For the 5 seconds to wait to then go back.
You can run around.
You can
I mean, they just
guy,
kept
yeah.
not giving you anything. I would feel like you would hate the game if that's what you played.
But I mean, something
I can't
did
wait to talk
to
this guy
game.
Sitting in his computer.
At the end.
There's one pre-recorded.
But there's like 24 hours of gameplay between when you start off as Desmond and get out as Desmond.
Yeah, but I mean, like.
I can't wait to find out that he's the Desmond from Lost.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, exactly.
That's why he has the special abilities, because they blasted him with this electromagnetic.
Yeah.
You thought Lost was over.
Never watched
right
it.
Back in.
Never going to. It's my Titanic.
It's
your Titanic.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Never watched that either.
Assassin's Creed debate
that's
going
not a
forever.
Special movie to not watch.
Needless to say, how many of you guys are going to get this game
oh,
probably
yeah,
when it comes
just,
out?
All
right, so all
no,
of us, even Ryan.
No, I'll let Matt get it and then borrow it from him 3 years from now
yeah.
when they're coming out with 6.
So to finish out the news, I got this yesterday in my email, and I totally forgot to put it up on the site. So instead of putting it on the site, we're gonna chance switching video feeds on this piece of shit software and play an exclusive release trailer for Rage.
Yay.
That we just got.
Cool.
What?
Yeah. And we're back.
So that was cool.
We're back.
So that was a Rage video that no one's really seen yet.
So what do you guys think? Are you into Rage?
I'm glad to see an FPS coming out, because there's... Finally! I hope you shoot creatures.
But, well, okay, but in the defense of said FPS, this is the granddaddy of all FPS games.
Yeah, granddaddy. That's how long they've been fucking around. There's a fucking granddaddy of them.
Well,
I'm a little bit
Duke
over
Nukem Forever,
FPSs. I'll play Duke Nukem Forever.
But Duke Nukem...
Can you pee in a toilet in this game?
You know Duke Nukem Forever is an FPS, right?
I'll play that.
Yeah, this is fun. I don't even know where
that's fucking pretty sweet.
No, but in all honesty, so in you know, Doom, Quake,
I think
you're
being honest, but yeah.
I know you're being honest, but does that hold any precedence with you? Do you think that this,
Because it's id,
and because they came up with games like Wolfenstein and Doom and Quake, that this is going to be like the
Did
next
Wolfenstein
coming?
Did Wolfenstein come out after? Oh yeah, Duke Nukem was...
No, Wolfenstein
was first.
Wolfenstein
3D. Well, Wolfenstein, the stealth action game.
Yes.
Was first.
It was first? Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think Wolfenstein 3D.
Right.
Or Return to Castle Wolfenstein, whatever it was called.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, I remember, yeah. It was many ago.
It actually looked pretty badass.
Yeah, it looks
good.
The graphics are good. The
gameplay
looks, I mean, like the weapons look interesting.
It was Portal 1 that did that to me. Like, as soon as I played Portal 1, I'm like, I'm a little bit over just running forward and pulling the trigger. Like,
yeah.
You can do other things with a first-person game, and they just proved that, and now it's like, it made every other first-person shooter just look like the same. Except for Halo, because that's amazing.
It's got colors.
It's got colors.
I think, you know, I don't know, I'm not the target audience here, so like,
yeah,
for me it's not like a game a release day purchase, but
yeah,
it definitely looks really good.
Yeah,
it looks like
good.
A solid freaking game. I just it's almost a statement, like, taking in what you said about, you know, the fact that there is a granddaddy of shooters means that this game is pretty, this style has been done a lot.
Yeah.
People eat it up, man.
But like, it's almost a statement of maybe that people are tired of this somewhat, that a game made by id is coming out and it's not really... It's I mean, everybody's talking about it somewhat, but it's not really like, this is not top of the, everybody's talking about Rage, and no one can wait till it does Rage.
It's not Call of Duty.
No.
No, it's not.
That's kind of weird.
Let me ask a different question. Like, at what price point would you buy this game? Like, $60?
Well, it's going to be a $60 game.
But I mean, like, no, but not only for 2 months.
Personally, if I could choose a price point.
Yeah.
Like, if you just wait until...
It's like, to me, I want it about $30.
There you go.
I'll borrow it from one of you guys.
See? That's. I think that's a better benchmark than, like...
Yeah.
You know.
I just... It's like I said, id. It just feels weird to me that a game can come out by id and it's just not.
Do people playing games right now? Like, does the majority of the market even know who id is anymore?
Well, that's the thing. That it's been so long with since anybody? Id. What was the last game that id produced? Doom 3.
Doom. Was it 3?
The one with the flashlight and
yeah, the one that was like so black. Everybody made jokes that it was so dark you couldn't
Jay
see anything.
Which, by the way, has a funny thing about that.
Really? Yeah, that was the last game that I would call it.
They also have a movie though.
They do.
Starring Dwayne Johnson,
The Rock,
indeed.
And Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
That's right.
Carl Urban.
So yeah. Did you play Doom 3?
I did not have a system to run Doom 3 on at the time.
It looked badass.
It was terrible.
Played Doom 2. Played Doom.
I played Doom.
Played Wolfenstein.
Dial-up matches. It.
It's like the point Ash made. The average age of gamers right now is us. Mm-hmm. And we all know who it is and remember.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem to be relevant anymore because Doom 3 came out so long ago.
How long ago? It was probably like five, six years ago.
Apparently there's going to be a Doom 4 in 2012.
Eight?
By id?
I want to say that it was almost not 8-9 years ago because I was living in Pennsylvania, which would be 2002, 2003.
Okay. I know I couldn't play it. I know I couldn't run it, so whenever
Doom
it was.
Doom 3, 2004.
Am I mistaken? And didn't it show something about rage at like the last E3 or something? Like in a village talking to some people or something like that. Not a village, but in like a waypoint. So it looks like from what I remember of that clip, it looks like they may be adding some extra interesting mechanics other than run forward and hold
they
down the
said,
trigger.
They said this is not going to be a typical shooter. That was one of the first things that what's his name said from it.
All 5 minutes that we just watched looked like a typical shooting, but
yeah.
But I mean, that was the first thing they said. They were like, this isn't going to be your regular id game, you know, like, don't expect this to be Doom.
Well, it looks like there's definitely,
well,
it looks like there's characters.
Yeah, it's
and
outdoors
plot.
And there's cars.
It's outdoors and there's no Nazis in this one.
Yeah. So it's not your typical id game.
Characters and voice dialogue and vehicles and...
So it's Battlefield on another planet?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That was my whole argument with the game is it looks cool. But I just played Borderlands, and even though this isn't cel-shaded and anything like that, I kind of got the same sort of feeling from it. And, of course, it looks fucking gorgeous, but also I'm kind of thinking, like, there's a lot of really
Borderlands
shooters coming out.
Borderlands is such an awesome example of a game company who made a game and didn't... They literally didn't go the realism route because they were like, wow, we can't do a good job at that. So they played within their like respective like abilities, and they were like, oh, we could cel shade, we could do this, add some humor.
They did the...
There was a different art style on that
game.
Well,
I know, it changed completely.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gearbox did Hell's Highway, or Brothers in Arms.
Yeah, they did, yeah. I don't know if you guys ever played that. The
but I'm saying that I meant on this, on specifically on Borderlands.
Okay.
They put that version out of the 3D art, like the original... Mm-hmm. Like realistic looking art, and everybody's reaction was like, "Oh, this game looks like crap." And they literally at that point made a decision to do less, essentially, go the cel shaded route, give it a good sense of humor, and then blew it out of the water. You know, I mean, that game was phenomenal for what it was. And like, I'm just looking at it, and it just seems like part of me feels like they're doing the same thing they always do, which is just try to push tech as hard as they possibly can.
Which is Crytek,
but it has like no story or you know, no like. Nothing that's really grabbing anyone at this point.
No meat and potatoes.
So I don't know. I just thought I got that email and I was like, oh, we'll play the video for the show because I didn't get it up online. So
yeah, no, I'm definitely interested to see where it goes. We haven't even seen the main protagonist or the main hero of the story.
You know, he's in first person.
I hope he's silent.
Is he silent?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Does anybody know anything about the story at all?
No.
Have they released anything about the story?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about
the
game until you played
desert.
The video.
There's oh,
a,
you didn't know
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. There's a comic.
You get to drive a car.
There's a comic coming out?
Yeah, there is. The comic's not about the main character, but it's...
That's the only thing. I love comics. I'm getting a little weirded out that every game is doing a comic now. It's like...
Well, it's kind of like the comic book movies. It's like someone did a good comic book movie and it made a lot of money, so now everyone's like, well, let's make another comic book movie.
But I feel like comic book movies translate, and I feel like throwing a comic out about a video game makes no sense sometimes. It has nothing to do with, like... like, you know, I mean... But they don't. I mean, it's like one's a I don't know.
Dance Central.
Yeah, like that. I'm not going to be shocked when, like, you know, Dance Central 2 has a comic that leads it out.
I love Katamari comics.
there's a story there, man. Anyways,
look at
how
much more stuff he has in this.
So Ash, for unknown reasons, you went to see Fast 5.
All right,
rolling around.
Yeah. Okay. So Here's the situation. I never saw.
Did you see the Onion News video about Fast Five, about the director of Fast Five?
No.
Oh, yeah, that
they
was
showed
beautiful.
A video. I'll show it to you afterwards. But they showed a video of this 5-year-old kid sitting on a couch on like a talk show.
It was awesome.
And they're like, "How did you come up with this amazing story in Fast Five?" He's like, "Well, there was cars, and then I thought they'd blow up, and the car would drive and go real fast, and there'd be a cop, and he'd hit the cop, and then the car would go." And he's like,
"It's just the most beautiful, beautiful personification." So,
anyways,
well, okay. So I'm in no means trying to say that like this is a work of art,
right?
At all.
It's more like a work of art.
Well. Anyway.
You don't have the sound queued up?
Like a fart sound? Or just once again?
No, go ahead. Ash, keep going.
I've seen the first movie, and I've seen the fourth movie. I never saw.
Four Fast, Four Furious.
I think the fourth one was just called Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Yes, man. Not
yes.
The Fast.
And it was, yeah, Fast and Furious.
2009, if you get confused.
So, the reason why I subjected myself to abuse and talking about this is because I actually really actually had a great time seeing this movie.
Did you lose a bet?
No. It kind of harkens back to like when you're a kid and you're watching a Stallone movie or a Schwarzenegger movie, and like now in retrospect you realize that these were probably not the greatest movies, but they
Predator.
Give you this like, yeah, or even Predator or Total Recall or any of those really cheesy, you know.
And then he shoots the fish tank, and the alligator comes out and kills the guy. That's
yes,
brilliant.
Exactly.
No, that was at the tail end. That was
Eraser.
You can't. That doesn't fall into the canon of badass Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
But it falls under the
like
canon
a
of like a bad movie that you had a good time watching.
Yeah. Well,
all right. So continuing. To say that this is a bad film would really actually be sort of doing it an injustice, because the kid that directs this, Justin Lin, even though he is a kid, the fucking guy directs action unlike anybody in recent years. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I've seen a billion action movies. I grew up on them. I watch them all the time now. Like, the action sequences of this movie are unfucking believable. And they're totally ridiculous, but at the same time, they're shot so well. And they're so clean and they're so sharp. You're just like, this kid can actually really, really direct an action film. The acting, of course, you know it's Vin Diesel and The Rock and Paul Walker. So you're basically looking at like, you know,
who was fast and who was furious.
No,
I would say
Diesel
that Paul Walker was fast.
Vin was furious. Right?
Vin was probably furious.
Probably.
And The Rock was sort of in between.
I heard that, like, I was watching, Tully Radshaw went and saw the movie also and reviewed it, and actually had good things to say about it as well, and said they really enjoyed it, I think. I don't know that they loved it, but they were like, it was enjoyable, you know?
Yeah, it was.
But what they started talking about, which blew my mind when they started talking about it, is that this actually falls into the canon, like, between 2 and 3 or something like that, like... The actual story time between the, there's like actually a storyline that these movies follow, but they're not sequential. Like it's like they're shot out of order almost.
Oh.
So it was like 1 and then 2 and then this movie and then Tokyo Drift, and then like the fourth one happened at the same time as the, like, they're all like they had this weird thing that they talked about.
I'm really sure their target audience is going to follow that.
Yeah, thing. Like, well, the funny thing is they were laughing about this the entire time. They're talking about it like this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever talked about.
No, yeah. I wasn't aware of that.
Say that when the second one came out, I was living in Pennsylvania. And my friend Rob and I decided to ride bikes around. We went by the local movie theater, and all the people that owned that type of car were there, and they had all their hoods popped up with all the neon on.
Was that Faster and Furiouser?
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
Yes,
it was one of the greatest.
So what was the Fast? Is there a 5? What is the, or was it just the number
it's
of the,
it's the number of the movie?
Yeah,
so there's not 5 guys.
They just broke it down. They made it really easy.
Let me go to the list for you.
Fast 5. I want to see. I want a car movie. They go boom.
Then there was Tokyo Drift.
Right.
Then Fast and Furious.
Right.
Don't admit
it. Then Fast 5.
This.
I've seen them all. Well, I tried to watch Fast and Furious the other day.
I read, tell me if this is true or not, but there's a character in the movie that's whose name comes up as Han Solo. But it's spelled S-E-O-U-L, like the country, because the guy is Asian.
In the movie?
The Asian guy in the movie.
Well, I'm on the IMDb
Han,
page.
And allegedly, his name comes up in one of the races or something.
Oh, yeah,
Han,
it's just Han.
Sol.
It just
they put his last name as like S, however you spell Sol.
Just as Han.
I apologize, the country of Sol.
S-E-U-L.
The country of Sol?
Sol. Is it a continent?
S-E-U-L. Is what we're looking for.
Korea
state.
Is just a country.
It's a city in Korea.
Sol
is
a city. would be the capital of South Korea.
Yeah, that's where the Olympics were, right? Olympics?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not in America. But anyway, continuing. Mm. So yeah, obviously, this kind of movie
is... your small world, by the way.
Isn't for everyone. Like I said, it's every day. This is my everyday. You know, hey, it is really a lot of fun. Like, and you have to subject yourself to, like, you know, fast cars, shit blowing up, whatever, and you have to realize you're going to be seeing something kind of dumb. But at the same time, if you like action, there's a lot of really awesome, like, buddy moments. There's a lot of, like...
I do have, like, an actual question about this movie.
Please.
Is the action,
Fast
like,
and Furious.
Is the action, like, the type of action
you're
where
get sequestered
it's
sequestered outside of the room?
Where it's not computer-generated? Is there actually, like...
Yeah, there's a lot of actually,
like,
really,
actual, like,
real
visceral...
Racing.
That's
yeah,
cool.
There's real racing,
how old
real cars.
Is the director?
He's younger. Really he's, like, in his late 20s, early 30s.
Wow.
And he's a young guy. But,
I actually watched two.
Two?
That one's terrible.
The Miami one?
Yeah. Is that the one where he, like... Which is the one where he goes after the girl... Who gets kidnapped by, like, the drug dealers
that's
or something.
Two.
I think that's all of them.
Wow. Is it?
Just saying. Yeah. Somebody gets kidnapped.
Which is the one where Vin Diesel comes back.
That's four.
Okay, then I've seen four the most. I've seen two in Miami.
You've seen it more than once.
Yeah, yeah, it was on cable. Like, yeah. They were playing it on repeat on cable. I worked from home for almost 2 years.
Yeah,
I watched a lot of TV that, like, had nothing to do with anything.
There's a Paula Deen rerun on the Food Network that is probably...
Well, I'm sorry, that's not my choice.
Speaking of Paula Deen, what brand of butter did they rub down the rock with? Because he looked so shiny.
He was definitely a sweaty
Speaking
guy.
Speaking of Paula Deen, what brand
they,
of butter?
They were in South America, which is a sweaty place.
They're in South America?
Yeah, South America.
How
South
did they
America.
Get all their cars to South America?
It's sort of a long and complicated tale.
Did they talk about how they get their cars to South America?
Yeah, we gotta bring all their, cars.
They have a... It's a very long and complicated tale. But let's just say there's a train heist that involves stealing very valuable cars. And then it leads to them stealing a car that has a microchip inside of it that belongs to the
Isn't
most powerful...
Isn't this gone in 60 seconds?
Powerful drug lord in all the world. And then they decide, in order to save the day, they have to actually rob this vault that has like $100 million in it in the bottom of the police station. So they're actually robbing a police station. That's what the movie's all about.
So,
it's a
heist. So Ocean's 11.
It is an Ocean... Yes, Ocean's 11 is right.
I have a non-serious question.
Yeah.
Did you find this movie good because the last movie you saw was Birdemic?
Wow.
You set that bar really low.
Everything looks good now.
You're like, this movie is fucking phenomenal.
I my parents' wedding.
They said solar panel three times correctly.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I liked it. I'm not gonna lie. I would actually recommend Fast Five.
Would you recommend? Seriously, the room that you're in.
Yeah.
And much as we've made fun of this.
Yeah.
You would recommend all of us to go drop $20 in a movie theater to see this movie. We won't be disappointed. Or you'd recommend...
Are you buying two tickets?
I am clearly buying two tickets.
I'm standing behind this film.
Wow.
I really am. Because I honestly haven't seen an action film this year that I like as much as this.
I can get behind like lo-fi action, and I do. I mean, I did watch wrestling. Watch
and
The Rock.
It's crap blowing
I did.
Up,
like,
you watched a lot of The Rock. Yeah.
I mean, there's like a fucking 30-minute car chase at the end. That's just like they blew up the world to film this car chase. It's fucking crazy. And then like mini guns pop out of the roofs of cars, and there's just machine guns and fucking. It's crazy. I love it.
Are there
it's
women great. In bikinis? Okay.
There are women in bikinis whose asses take up the whole screen of the movie.
Do you like
it? I'm not even kidding.
Did you enjoy it? Like, ironically, like, this is a shitty movie, but it's fun? Or did you see, like, is it Anaconda?
It's better than Anaconda.
No, but there's very few films
that No, it's
oh,
better than Anaconda.
Anaconda is, like, a perfect, like, this is terrible enough to be hilarious to watch. Is
it's
stupid
true.
And fun, or is it... Like, actually kind of
this is
movie.
A legitimate action film. It really is. Like, I mean, there's action films that automatically, because it's an action film, it is not, like, going to win a fucking Oscar.
Is it Bad Boys?
Can I ask you a serious
it's
question?
It's a Michael Bay action film.
Right.
Bad Boys 1 or 2?
1.
It's already grossed $86.2 million.
This movie will make money. It's not,
does anybody get the people's elbow?
Oh, is that the Rock's move? Rock kicks people's ass in this movie.
Did you smell what
he was
cooking?
I think that's in his contract.
Yeah, it is in his contract.
That's
Yes. No, there's a lot of...
Are really you buying pretty tickets?
Was cooking as the Rock. No, he's covered in canola oil.
He really was. And I must say that guy, he kind of like lost a little bit of his mass in recent years.
I think you'd have to.
He is bigger than freaking ever.
Oh, really? He said he loses weight and bulks up. He in an interview said that he loses weight and bulks up for roles to make him more believable.
I didn't know that.
Like in the rundown, he lost mass, so he would look more believable.
Speaking of Ash's Small World, if you guys want a sidebar somewhere else, that's totally fine.
You guys want to talk about Mariah Carey's babies? That was nerve-wracking.
We are actually going to finally do the review of Small World, the board game.
Today?
Today. That got... briskly shut down by myself.
2 months in the making.
I'm glad I'm back for it.
Ash finally played the game.
I did. I played it. Did I play one round or two rounds?
You played one round.
We played one game. One
I
game.
Liked it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hope you waited long enough. No. Ash liked it.
I haven't played it.
So Scott's here finally now, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
Do this but solo, and then Ash has played it so we can actually talk about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on my phone.
And then the two of you can sit quietly.
Nice.
Wow, that wasn't supposed to work. That was weird. I like that I said they have to sit quietly after Ash's review, which just got interrupted 100 times.
That was for Fast Five.
I will go see Fast Five, though.
You will?
Yes. I have every intention.
In
I
the
actually,
theater?
Yes. I actually just rented from Netflix
I just can't.
Fast and Furious.
I just can't. Here's like,
which is
like we went and saw
well, let me
Danny Trejo movie,
Machete.
Yeah. Which was fucking terrible.
I'm really disappointed. I spent
$15
on that movie.
It was so bad.
Can I preface this with the theater in town does a really good job of matinee times and prices.
And prices.
Yes.
Mm. There's one downtown that's really cheap. It's like $5.
But matinee
is
until 6
theater.
I would
oh,
see.
That's good. Yeah,
I would
so.
See Fast Five in a theater you could drink in. That would be one of those movies.
I can see that. I would do this like the Enzian here does, like lawn movies where you can go and drink and hang out on the lawn and watch a movie. I would totally see a movie like that on the lawn. That'd be fun as hell. But
I just
don't know that.
To
I don't know that I could take Melissa to that movie and walk out happy. I know it's probably a good movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying that it's not my shtick.
Movies. Not to draw
a
little.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
No,
it's like food.
Your opinion's wrong.
Like. I may love something that you fucking despise, and like anything I tell you is not going to sway
you. Well, it's art. I mean, it's like.
Don't call Fast Five art.
I think I'm in the camp of like. I don't like to go to the movies for those social reasons. Like, I'm one of those people that like gets irritated as soon as someone like. As soon as the movie starts, someone like opens up a bag of like Twizzlers and it's just like.
But they want to save it till the show starts. They don't want to eat it all.
And they just decide to like
those Twizzlers go bad pretty quick.
You know, you decide to like open up a package right at the quiet part of the movie. So
I
read a
typewriter.
It would be a movie that I would like to see in a theater, but like realistically, it's very.
See, like Melissa and I caught Tron before it left theater, and I'm super happy we saw that in the theater.
I mean, I
it wasn't a great movie, but it was like that's a movie theater movie to me.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't have been as happy watching
that's
that.
That's how Avatar was for me. Like if I would have seen Avatar in the theater, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much.
Which, by the way, we just watched The Last Airbender, and it's a fucking god awful wreck.
I've heard that.
Of
Scott.
What the cartoon is an amazing show of.
Given the target demographic of Fast Five,
dude,
I don't think you have to worry about the audience.
Really?
They'll be probably civilized, respectful theater.
Well, I mean, that's different. If it's like an action movie, you can get crazy, have a good time, you know?
So, also, Chris just showed up and he snuck on the Spider-Man set this week.
Ooh, Spider-Man set. I saw the Oscorp.
I told him he needs to figure out some kind of job for that. He's like way too good at getting on the movie sets.
He needs to write some crap for us, man. Write down about your sneaking.
Or at least take a
your
picture
ninja
of the
stuff.
Andrew Garfield
write your ninja
kid.
Stuff. I
he took a picture of the Oscorp building. There's a Sciences Oscorp on it.
Can you see Andrew Garfield in the picture?
I don't know. Why are you in Oscorp or something?
A little bit.
Anyways, moving into the board game reviews. Ash finally got to play Small World. Scott and I have been playing it for a little while. Game introduced to us by our friend Adam, who we're going to have on at some point. It's basically Risk mixed, like a fast-paced Risk, which sounds ridiculous, mixed with like fantasy elements. So you play as like a different race. You play as like orcs or humans or
I don't like it already.
Wraiths or whatever. And then you have abilities that get attached to those races that let you do different things.
And
those, and those are interchangeable. So
yeah,
it's
randomized.
It's
really
right.
Cool.
So five races come out at a time with five abilities attached to them. And they could be anything from, like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but they could be anything from, like, flying orcs to marauding
humans
to
mountain trolls.
Yeah, whatever. And the ability...
Mountain trolls are real.
The ability...
Well, then that's an accurate combination.
I mean, not real.
Real's a weird way to put that. The ability, there are literally two different cards. They go together when you pick them, and then they come apart and they randomize. So every game you play, we've played it probably 4 or 5 times, and
yeah, you just,
I've
like,
never
you
seen
you shuffle
the same
up
combo.
The stacks of abilities and then the races, and then you just pull them out and set them on the table, and those are the 5 like starting
and
races
from
pick
those 5. The reason it's fast paced is that you literally move in with your guys, you take over a land, which is quick, it's not as big of a deal as Risk. You take over a land, and then you tally how much money you win at the end of the round for how many lands you have taken over. But you only have a set amount of guys, and it won't grow. So taking over lands doesn't get you anything. You just take over the land, you get money. And then you cycle through races through the span of the game so that you can get more guys, so you can take over more land, you can get more money. And your guys actually stay on the land, and you'll keep collecting money for every guy that you have on that land. But somebody might come in and take it over, and then you lose that land and whatever. But it's fast enough that that's not a big deal. You're not sitting there. It's not like Risk where you know, somebody takes over Russia, and then everybody just sits there and tries to pound on Russia until they get it. And then they just put 40 guys there and sit there, and you try to outlast everybody. It keeps moving. And then it's also time-based, so depending on how many players you have, there's only so many rounds that you'll play per game. So we had 5 players, we played 8 rounds. If you have 2 players, you play 10 rounds. So there's more. That actually counts down as you go too. So at the end of 8 rounds, it just ends no matter where you are in the game, and then you tally up how much money you got. Whoever got the most money wins the game.
I can also add that we've been playing a lot of board games lately, and like,
yes,
I've been picking up a lot of card games and stuff like that. And I think the thing that you also need to now talk about in these discussions is like the quality of the product, like materials, you know, like we played Resident Evil and I bought the new expansion. And as soon as I took the cards out of the packaging, like some of them started to warp, like bending up at the 2 opposite corners, you know, like putting them in the card sleeve and the card was still like bending in the card sleeve. You know what I mean? So this game is kind of cool in the sense that like all of the materials are like pretty thick cardboard materials, printed on like pretty sturdy, like, you know, card stuff or whatever. And then not only that, but the box has slots for all of the pieces to go into when the game's over. That kind of stuff really,
yeah,
really makes a difference. And then not only that, but there are different like boards for the number of players that are in the game. So like a 5 player game has a board that's like this big, and then like a 2 or 3 player game has
it's
a board
really
that's only
one.
Half the size.
So it actually like balances the game somewhat while you're going. And the thing with the characters and everything being interchangeable, the game is actually, because we've played, like you said, we've played a lot of board games. We've seen a lot of variance in balance, which I think is a real art form with any kind of game, whether it's board or video game or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Small World is really balanced. Like it does not, you don't even, like every time we've played, I don't think anyone's won by a huge margin. It's always like within $10 or whatever of each other. So it's like the game is balanced so well that these combinations that come out always change. Your strategy kind of changes with those combinations. And then, like, no one really overpowers just through, like, sheer, like, ridiculousness, you know, like, which we'll talk about in the next game
you can't really, like,
briefly, but
luck dice roll your way into, like, a landslide victory.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not really possible. It's just kind of like you work with the combinations you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a dice roll, but it's really just, like, a minor twist of fate in the game. And, oh, that's kind of cool.
I also have to say, are you laughing at it? It's come out in a few months.
That's fine.
I also have to say that this game, compared to every other board game that we've played, is pretty, what's the best way to put it? Wife friendly? Is that a good way to say it?
Well, I mean,
yeah.
I would say that it's got like a low barrier to entry, so people that are not like heavy gamers.
But it's not even, it's a nerdy. I mean, it's nerdy because you're playing like fantasy
races.
It's
easy enough for girls to play.
No. Put it this way. So like
non-nerds.
Jen doesn't do any of this stuff. She doesn't play card games. She doesn't play video games.
She took my lunch money once.
She beat you up and took your lunch money once. Like she's just not into this stuff. But she's played and
was she beating you up with like scissors and a misting spray? Because that was just a haircut.
But she played it. She played it and enjoyed it.
She's violent.
Yeah.
Like Melissa plays it, you know, Chrissy's played it. Like, they've all played it and enjoyed it, and, like, we'll play it again, whereas I think if they played Chaos of the Overworlds, which we're going to talk about, or Resident Evil, you know, Chrissy would probably enjoy it because she gets into some of that stuff. Jen would hate it, and
like,
Melissa,
like, this game kind of goes in the munchkin category in terms of,
it's
like...
It's easy to pick up and play, and yeah, everybody enjoys it.
The draw of a game like this, to me, is just, like, purely the social aspect. Like, sitting around. The game is irrelevant. If it's a fun game to play and
right,
go along with...
Yeah,
this is like
a new age Monopoly to me. So, but it's fast. So it's like, you don't spend all night playing this game. You spend about an hour, you know? And if it's somebody's first time, you spend, like, an hour and a half tops.
Yeah, like I caught on really quickly.
Yeah, it moves fast and just goes through.
It's like once you see like two people take their turn.
Yeah, as long as the mechanic, the lube of the social interaction is done well.
No, it worked. That was a good.
As long as the game doesn't suck.
I did think though that like just from like the first time playing it, I thought that the board, because all the pieces were flat,
yeah,
and the tokens were flat, I thought that the board all of a sudden, like, you look back and it just looked like a cluttered fucking mess.
Sure.
Like
it is a little confusing.
Somebody vomited on it, like, and there's all the pieces, like, when they go into decline.
Do you throw up game pieces?
Sometimes.
Okay.
You just flip everything over and then it's kind of gray, so that everyone will have, like, this is, like, 100 gray pieces on the table, and I was just kind of like, I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's maybe the only knock to the game, is that all of the pieces for the races are a little too similar,
like similar
in their like
they're exact same shape, they're all the same size and everything, but even the pictures on them kind of like, you know, an orc and a ogre look the same.
Well, they
like,
try to,
you don't really know.
They try to color code the tiles too, but like
yeah,
when there's like 12 or 15 races, like
yeah,
like light blue kind
of
looks a little bit like light
colors,
light gray,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, wouldn't it behoove them to just get like little plastic game pieces?
Well,
like,
here's
even,
the thing
about
that is though, I think that the, because the game only is $20 or $25 when you buy it, so like the cost of it is probably a large part of that.
Yeah.
And this is also a very, Adam was telling us after the about the other game too, this is a very European kind of thing, and that's what we're seeing right now coming out, all these little cardboard games that are super cheap to make and really easy to buy and easy to get a bunch of people into play.
Mm-hmm. I think to answer your question also, I would say,
sorry,
that
did I not do that?
No, you did. I mean, to answer it like in a way
that
would still work with the way the game is constructed. I didn't
to give you a better answer.
Thanks
for the
I think there are symbols on the cards, and they could have made those like a little more salient.
Yeah.
And I think that would have solved a lot of those problems.
That's fine.
Like for orcs, they could have put.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I mean, not to sound.
Yeah, exactly.
I know like the joke that shut down the review last time is that it's weird to talk about board games. Like, it's kind of boring to talk about board games, but it's really fun, and we've been playing a ton of them lately, and it's
because it's cheap.
It's really easy
it's
for
cheap.
Me to sit down and show,
and it's a good
it
social activity.
Sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure if I sat down and played any of these games with you guys, I'm sure it would be a blast.
So
there would be five people close that had to listen to me
again.
Thank you for segueing us
into something else.
So Scott called me yesterday and said, hey, we're going to play a board game. You want to play? I said, sure. And our friend Adam and his coworker Joe came over.
Joe's been on the podcast before to talk about Magic.
Joe talked about Magic in depth, if everybody remembers that. So I went over. We actually played Ascension really quick first, which we've talked about before. Then we played...
So every time you say you played something really quick, it goes back to a joke that my one friend and I had about... Did you ever play World at War? Axis and Allies?
Yeah. No.
We always joke, hey, you want to play a quick game of Axis and Allies? Because they would take
exist,
like months
right? Yeah,
to
yeah.
play.
Quick Ascension was, I mean, Ascension
yeah.
is like a 40-minute game. It's like super fast. But...
Well, World at War for my friend and I would be months.
Really?
Like, it'd be like non-stop battle
so
kind
we,
of thing. But...
We played a game called Chaos in the Old World, which is made by Games Workshop, which is a 40K game. Board game.
This is based on 40K.
Not Games Workshop. Say it for me.
Well, Games Workshop is
40K.
That's the parent company that makes 40K. And
right,
fantasy
right.
And
so they made a board game,
yeah.
Fantasy Flight.
With Fantasy Flight,
yeah, I think so.
I know
okay.
Fantasy Flight has done a couple other things. I think they did the 40K role playing.
It's
I would
love to go in depth on how the rules work in this game, but I sat and played it for 3 hours, and I still don't really know what the hell was happening.
We're
going to
give you a really hilarious review of this game, because the game was taught to us by two guys, like one guy who played the game a lot, which was Adam, another guy who like understood the rules, but only has played a handful of times,
mm-hmm.
And then Matt and I,
and then me and Scott,
who just sat down to play, were handed like a bunch of stuff, and we just started playing the game.
There are no less than two systems of like point tracking in this game.
I'm out.
It's like a weird. So it's a map, and then you have guys that you like drop on the map. It sounds kind of like same like Risk-ish kind of setting, and then you take over lands, I guess.
I guess the idea. I think I understand it. Like the idea, there are regions, so it's like a standard map with regions on it. But then you summon your units into these regions, and then you corrupt the regions.
And or then, you can dominate them.
And then you, like, if you have so many guys in the regions, you dominate them. And then ultimately, like, regions start to fall.
Corruption leads me to believe the chaos has something to do with all
that. Yeah, yeah. And then, but what he was referring to is that, like, there are two systems in the game that you can win by. So, like, there's, like, what I guess
there's
is also
a wheel in the top left corner that you can turn.
Like, dials.
And you turn that by getting, so each, you play one of four gods. And each god has, like, a system that you can... You would hate this game, by the way. This is, like, the antithesis to every board game you would ever want to play.
Like just,
go ahead.
Like, briefly, this sounds like when you have a really bad fever and you drink too much NyQuil.
Dude.
And you're just like...
Let me give
wait,
you...
Wait. No, because that's fucking awesome. I drink too much NyQuil when I don't have a fever.
Let me give you this overview. So, the game was six rounds long, right? And each
is it, I think, supposed to be based in like the fantasy universe, or
it's in Warhammer. The whole thing's based in Warhammer. Yeah.
Okay, so
not 40K. I probably said that wrong.
Well, it, Warhammer. Yeah, it's Warhammer, and then Warhammer 40,000. Most people call Warhammer just fantasy.
So this is just Warhammer.
Yeah. So it's a fantasy realm.
So each turn.
So I'm familiar with those four guys.
It's not like a turn. Yeah. Yes, you are. It's not like the turn. It's not like a turn-based game. Like every other game we've played. It gets to your turn, you do the five things that you're allowed to do in your turn, and then it moves to the next person. This game has rounds for, or it has...
It's like eight phases,
eight
I think.
Phases that every player does at the essentially almost the same time, and then it goes to the next phase, and then every player does their thing, and then it goes to the next phase, and then every player does their thing, and then it goes to the next phase, and every player does their thing.
And then you,
and
like, tally up the points, clean up the board, start again.
Start again.
This sounds like way too much work.
Oh my god, dude. By the fourth round, right? This was me in the fourth round sitting like this with two cards in my hand, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. And Adam's like, oh, if you do this, then he's going to win. If
For
he
our
does
listeners,
this.
Matt put his head
yes,
into right. his hands.
So, and then I
looked
like,
exasperated.
I looked at the board, and I was like, how am I supposed to score? Do I stop him, or am I scoring points? Like, what am I doing? And they're like, I don't, you just, whatever you want to do. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening in the game right now. I don't know how to score. I don't know what the different scoring means. So I just played something, and Adam was like, well, it's not the turn I would have taken. I was like, I don't give a shit about this game! And I'm like, I totally just started yelling.
You're going to do that, Matt?
And then I finished, so that fourth round ends, and then the fifth round comes around, and like somehow, like I think you left to walk Penny or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I started asking a bunch of questions, and it started like clicking a little bit. So the fifth round comes around, and I'm like, okay, I think I have a hang of what's going on. And then he does the same thing I did in the fourth round. He's just sitting there staring at the board, and he's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening
right
now.
Well, at one point, Adam looks at me, and he goes, he says something to the effect of, like, well, if this happens this turn, Joe's going to win the game. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if this other thing happens this turn, like, Matt's going to win the game. And he goes, and then there's one thing that you can do to stop them, and then you'll win the game on the next turn. And I was like, okay. And then he puts a card down, and he's like...
No, wait, hold on. That simplified what he really said. What he said was, well, if, you know, you play this card and Joe does this, then Joe will win because he'll get this many victory points and move up here. But if he doesn't, then I could turn the wheel twice. Then I guarantee win.
Hold on,
but if I don't do this... I just was sitting there, and I was like, I think I get what he's saying. And Scott, I could just see Scott's face was just like... I don't give a fuck anymore.
And then he makes a move, and then I look at the board, and I'm like, so based on what you just did, I can't win. He was like, I don't know.
So wait, no. It gets so much
better. So I just kind of like...
No, hold on. You gotta wait. So that's exactly what happens. And Scott's like, so I can't win? He's like, and Adam's like, oh, I don't know. And we sit there, and I'm like looking at the board, and we start tallying up points. In the dead middle of tallying up points, Adam just goes, oh, Scott won.
Yeah, he looks at the board. He goes, oh, we're out of like these kinds of cards. He's like, well, the game's over. And we're like, What does that mean?
He goes, Scott won.
Yeah.
Right on, dude.
Yeah. And we both sat there, and I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, game's over. Sorry, I guess I should have said that. And I'm like, I don't even know what happened.
A game shouldn't take five rounds of you watching just, other players to just, start to get the point
out. It was like everything that happened. I told it, okay, so I used to read Calvin and Hobbes really heavily. Did you guys ever read Calvin and Hobbes super heavily? Hobbes,
yeah.
Do you remember Calvin Ball?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
game they
yeah.
played where they just made rules as they were going, yeah. That is exactly what it felt like. I was just like, I would sit there, and I would like play a card, and then I would be like, well, then I do this, 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 and this, and then this guy moves over here, and I scored 42 Flimity Flams. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, what?
Please tell me that's a real unit.
Like, if Adam would have like thrown down the last piece and been like, Flugentog, you win!
Yeah.
That would have been just as good for
no
me.
No idea what happened throughout the whole
Sounds
game.
Sounds fun, man.
Here's the thing. Actually did enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when
so
we were done.
Well, no, what you enjoyed was sitting around the fucking table bullshitting with your friends.
Yeah,
you know,
but see,
like,
after the first game, it kind of clicked, and we were like, oh, okay, that's
cool.
You
liked it because you won.
We'd play that again. Yeah, oh yeah. That definitely helped at the end. It helped a lot, but
I think it's just one of those, this is like the perfect game to review with Small World, because Small World is fucking go buy that game because it's fun as hell. Everyone you know can sit down and play that game.
Yeah.
It's easy to pick up. It's fast. You don't have to, like, you could do it and go see a movie in the same
Chaos
night. Like,
has a very high, like,
Chaos.
Barrier to entry.
It's like a mind.
And then
blown.
Once you get there, it's not so bad. You know, like, that's the difference. You
yeah.
know?
I don't even
but
want
you
to
have
sit
to,
house where that game is
not. You would hate
yeah.
it. You would honestly
yeah.
there
hate
are,
it.
There are
I appreciate this because of having played 40K, but I mean, when you get a rule book that's that thick for
yeah.
a game.
Yeah.
For one race.
I don't even read books, period, that
thing. I think, like, I feel like you could enjoy it just because you know the lore and it
yeah.
would make, like, the
well,
setting would
big,
make sense to you.
I don't know much about fantasy. I never got into
oh, okay.
it. I mean, I know the gods because they carry over to the 40K
okay.
universe, but it's one of those things. I do have a little bit of knowledge of it, so
but
yeah,
I feel like it's, like, if you're comfortable with the setting, you'd probably be like, oh, this is cool, and it might, not even that the rules would make more sense, but at least you would already have, like, some kind of interest
mm-hmm.
in what's going on. And for me, as, like, I've never played Warhammer other than the computer game.
Yeah.
And, like, that doesn't, it's not like that one's throwing you into the lore of the gods. You're moving units around and, like, blowing things up. And, like, I just sat down and had, like, no fucking clue what was happening the
yeah.
entire time. And it was like every god has their own way of, like, playing, you know, like, they each have, like, a different way to play the game and different
or,
ways of winning. And
because they're,
it just was like, it was just.
Would I like it, Matt?
No.
What's kind of funny is that in the middle of the game, I looked at the table and I was like, this would be so much easier to play on the computer.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of when you were saying everybody goes at once and explain the rules. I really wanted to just, I did.
But like you said,
I surprisingly didn't want to cut you
it
off.
It defeats
so much, but
the entire purpose
say, like,
of
why not just play it online.
It defeats yeah. the whole purpose of sitting with your friends and
yeah.
like doing something.
But you can do that with fucking Go Fish, and that's really easy.
Sure,
it doesn't
sure.
take five rounds of Go Fish to figure out.
So.
Anyways.
That was it.
Go Fish.
We've actually got more board games that we're going to be trying, like new ones that we'll be
cool.
talking about
no.
at some point.
I want to get those Last Night on Earth expansions really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And play that again. That was a lot of fun.
We have a game like Last Night on Earth called Pandemic that Joe has. That's the same thing. It's like you versus the board kind
it's
of.
Like Birdemic,
so.
But with pandas.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we also
God,
have.
God, you're a genius.
That would be Pandademic.
Pandemic.
Right.
We also have Nightfall too that we can play
yeah.
soon.
Is that like Night Trap?
Yes.
With Dana Plato?
Yes.
What?
Just say yes.
Sure.
That's pretty much it. We were going to do the topic that we were going to talk about last week, but I think the girls are absent. And
they're making. They're here. They're making crafts.
They're playing the Rule of Chaos.
Chaos in the Old World.
Chaos
yeah,
in the Old
that's
World.
Totally
yeah.
what they're doing.
That sounds like a rap album name.
It
kind of
does.
Chaos of
the Little P. Chaos in the Old World.
Little P.
Is it just a guy that does, like, medieval rap music?
No, it's just the name.
Oh, okay.
Little P.
So let's recap. Ash got a nipple picture, then he saw Fast Five, and
yeah.
now we're done.
That's pretty much it.
And
the
I'm here.
End.
I was gonna bring up the should I bring up the thing that I said, the Microsoft Game Studio thing? Just a little. So basically, some guy that was a Microsoft employee updated his resume online, and part of the resume has a line that says he's currently working on a quote unquote a core AAA shooter experience using Kinect. That's really the only information that came out. Like anything else is just speculating. But everybody's saying that Microsoft Game Studios Vancouver is allegedly working on new innovative technology for the Kinect, which I said to you they probably should have done before they came out with the Kinect. But
yet didn't hurt sales.
Yeah. So allegedly they're working on a shooter for the Kinect.
Halo Kinect.
No, it's not Halo Kinect. It's a
Gears
Moonwalker
of
Kinect.
The shooter experience brings up what you kind of said was if there is a shooter on the Kinect, will you be able to do it without some kind of peripheral?
But I want to do it with
you. Right. But like, exactly.
I don't want to sit like that. I want to actually hold something.
Well, you're probably gonna have to, because if you stand at the Kinect and hold your hands up in front of you, it doesn't.
Hey,
well, it might know.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you what. A clever game designer would make a game where you can do this, and on the game it would go pew pew pew, and that would be hilarious.
Well, there is
a game where you
say, "Have you seen the
pew
pew,
pew,
pew game?"
Yeah.
Where you say pew 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 pew. And the more you say it moves your guy up and down, you basically make it.
But I'm saying,
maze.
Like, this is a Tim Schafer game.
Didn't you see the...
I don't know who that is.
The phone hand from Dead Space 2?
I played the phone game, yeah.
No, phone.
The metal
phone.
Phone hand.
Oh.
If you play it through on hardcore, you unlock a phone hand.
I would never
hand.
Do that's absurd. I saw the video.
And when you shoot, it goes pew.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
So, yeah, anybody thoughts on FPS for the Kinect?
I will say what I have said since I saw the Kinect the first time. Give me a game where I can use the controller and have voice.
I think we've both been crying that.
Well, that's what Endor was supposed to try and do.
Shittily. But I'd like one, now that I've seen it done well, now that I've seen voice command actually done well and work, I would like to see it integrated into a AAA title that I can command units with my voice, and that would make an RTS on the console.
I hope it recognizes me swearing at the game.
So I hope it does, too. I hope I can be like, fuck you, and the thing just like, oh, shit, he's angry, and like, moves to the other direction, you know?
Like the Kinect gets out of the way?
Yeah, the Kinect moves.
I was saying to Scott when we were playing Portal 2 online, like, it's like within 25 seconds of playing Portal 2, I was like, I want to do this with a peripheral and the Kinect and on a 3D TV. And I've never wanted to play a video game on a 3D TV until I played Portal 2. Like, fucking, just even just the effect of it.
Portal working and
only for the effect of leaping off of something and flinging yourself across the room with a bit of a depth perception on it. I would. Oh.
All right. Well, that's it.
Yeah. I have a proposition. I think for 25 we should do something special. I don't know what, but I think we should.
Okay.
What can
okay.
you do when you turn 25? Your car insurance.
Car insurance.
Podcast car insurance.
You can rent a car.
And you can try some. I think like
you can rent
like Hertz. You can at like 18.
Cost more.
It just costs more.
So we're gonna rent a car.
It's a quarter.
I don't know.
We're gonna do the podcast from a car.
We'll brainstorm. I think 25 should.
I'll be.
Do something.
You gonna be gone?
Gone
Ryan will be gone too
for training.
I'm getting kicked off again.
We'll figure something out.
Alright,
figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Alright,
we'll figure it out.
Adios.
Thanks, chat room. We love you. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I congratulate you.
That is it. We are out of here.